Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, December the 1st, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour, first day of December, 25 days till Christmas, joined in studio by Matt Morgan and Carrington Nelson. And we got a big top 10 list this hour, number two for this particular program. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You don't realize the torture and punishment and brutality that I have to endure during the breaks.
Oh.
Now tell people what you did. You're particularly on it tonight. You're like on a tear tonight. Go ahead, tell people what you did.
We took our picture that we
No, now tell people why this happens. Don't act like we take pictures every
I
break.
Know, I was...
Now tell people,
I'm getting
get
into it.
Be a radio person, kill some time so I can put the picture up. That's why I'm doing this little story, so go ahead.
Oh my gosh, he does not have any faith in me whatsoever. So, on the breaks, we always take our picture so we can promo the show for the next hour, and it gets put on the Facebook page. And this week, I was granted with the responsibility of being the one to take the photo. So, naturally, I take the photo, and every week, we have to zoom in on Scott's face to look and see how he looks.
Whoa, right there.
Hey, whoa, this is my story.
Thank
you.
True.
Thank you very much, Scott. We have to zoom in and see how we all look in the photo and make sure that it looks okay. And Scott likes to zoom in on himself and look at himself, which is fine. There's no shame in that. I also like to see how I look, but I've given up here. And I was like, well, it's fine. Scott's going to take the picture and post it. And whatever I look like is what I look like. But he does always look at himself on the photos. So I just, fast forwarded and saved us some time. I zoomed in on him and I showed him the photo and I said, does this look okay? And you said, whoa. He was offended.
Do your people know what a horrible person you are?
You do zoom in on you, which is okay. We've pointed it out before. There's nothing wrong with that. Just
okay,
own it.
Let me speak here for a second. Okay, here's what happens. We take a picture, and I am always in the middle. Look at every picture we ever take. I'm in the middle. Now, I don't know why that is.
Look at the picture we just posted.
Yeah, I'm in the middle.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Go look and see.
You zoomed in on.
Let's look at the picture right now.
Not that one.
The one that is on the Facebook
not
page
that one.
Does not have Scott in the middle, I would like to point out.
I understand that. But did I try to zoom in on anything?
No.
Okay, but I'm
that's
always...
That's our fourth take, and you said, that's fine.
No, because we had no time left. The national anthem was starting. I had to get back.
Right.
So the point is, I'm always in the middle. So I zoom in on the picture, no matter who takes it, because I want to make sure that it's not blurry. You can only tell that if you really zoom in. And I want to make sure that everybody does look okay. There's like no white wall, that the backdrop is okay. Like if we're trying to get the Christmas tree in the picture, I want to make sure it's in the picture.
Yeah,
so when you zoom in.
Why are we zooming to see if the Christmas tree is in the picture? The only argument you've made so far is that you're trying to see if it's blurry.
That's true.
Okay, that's fine. The other things just don't play into
Matt,
the
zoom. Do you really think that I'm zooming? What? Why would I zoom in on my face? What, like to see if I've contorted my face in an odd direction?
No, you look to see if there's glare on your glasses.
Yes, now what's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong
with
that.
But I look to see if there's glare on Matt's glasses.
You don't zoom in?
Because I'm in the center. It just looks like I'm zooming in on me.
Go ahead, Matt.
If you were in the center, I'd be zooming in on you.
Sure. You didn't zoom in on that picture where I am in the center, I would like to point out.
You look interesting in that picture, by the way.
That's so mean.
You should have zoomed in. Okay, go ahead, Matt.
That's so mean.
Oh, like you're just a barrel full of roses tonight.
I'm not inserting your
look. We are the most dysfunctional family there has ever been. I'm just pointing this out. Dysfunctional.
That's for sure.
Go ahead, Matt.
So the first time we pointed it out to Scott, so I do believe usually he is in the middle, but he does just kind of zoom in.
Because?
But, I assume it's for the reasons you said, but...
Why would I lie?
It's also that, you're in the middle, so you do in theory zoom in on yourself, but, I don't know that it's intentional, but, you just kind of, and then, blow it up and then shrink it back down.
How many pictures have I not looked good? Hair sticking up or something? I don't say retake those. I only, if they're blurry, if there's glare on somebody's glasses, or if the picture's wrong.
Okay.
Oh, no, we really take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
This goes back. I'm going to tell you. I think I've told you this story. I took a picture with Betty White is who it was. I took a picture with Betty White, and I did not check it. In those days, I wasn't checking the pictures. And I think my, like, my, I had a tie on or something, but it's crooked. And every time I see that picture, that's all I see, is the crooked tie.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah. So, you know, that's, you check for those things. It's not how you look how you look. You can't do anything about that. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do, get a facelift in the break? You can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it's really just about, okay, is everything straight? Does everything look right? Is everything in the picture that needs to be in the picture? Why wouldn't you do that?
No, that's fine. I was just...
But you act like I'm doing that for just my purposes.
No, I mean, you don't zoom in on anybody else to look at their faces.
If you looked bad, I would tell you.
You just told me I looked bad after you posted
case
the picture on
point.
Facebook.
Case in point, I told
after
you.
After he posted the picture.
Well, you don't look like yourself in that picture. Now, I don't know why, but you just look a little different in that picture.
I think it's the selfie. I think the selfie camera, like, makes my face look a little off. I don't know.
Like one side of your face looks bigger than the other.
Yeah. I think that happens a lot in, like, selfie-style pictures.
Well, see, I'm just letting you know.
Okay, well...
I think Matt and I look like ourselves.
Well, thank you. good thing you just posted it, so... That's out there.
Well, we can't redo it now. Out.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not upset about it. You're the one that likes to retake the pictures and zoom in and stuff. I think I look bad in most
Why
of
Why are
pictures.
You after me tonight?
I'm not after you tonight. I'm just saying.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm just saying.
Okay, Matt. The point is, do you really think that this is a conceit thing? Because that's what she's trying to lay it out here as.
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's just kind of funny, though. I think it's enjoyable.
Yes, it's good to poke fun at. I don't think it's a conceit thing.
I think it's still my favorite thing that's ever happened, though. We were taping at the old studio, and it came through. It's like, why do you zoom in on yourself? And then it was funny.
Yeah.
But I don't zoom in on myself. I zoom into the center of the picture.
Yeah, but it just looked like you did because you just, like, zoomed in, zoomed out.
Stare at that during the whole show now. Matt, do the promos. We got big stuff coming up.
On December the 9th at 6:15 in the Village of Caledonia, there will be a tree lighting ceremony. Scott will be reading Twas the Night Before Christmas. Me and Carrington will be there singing. I do believe Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus are going to be there.
Axton and Fruity C.
Yep. Nope. Fruity C and
Vixen. Oh, that's right.
Vixen.
Claxton will not be there that night. That'll be a reindeer.
And then we got... I might be forgetting something, but I actually think that it is it for the Village of Caledonia. Either way, it's going to be happening.
And the event of the season, of which I could possibly... We don't know yet. Journalistic integrity. Mm-hmm. That I could possibly be receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for. Go ahead.
So, on December 14th, we'll be having the annual WGH Talk Fruitcake Toss.
Right.
Here at 685 Delaware Avenue. I do believe it'll be taking place out back.
Out back.
That night, there will be Jack Kellogg, longest mayor in Marion's history, 16 years, will be inducted into the Upper Crust Society. There will be more singing. We'll have chestnuts, which are just buckeyes that we call chestnuts for the holiday.
'Tis the season.
I do believe we might have beverages, hot chocolate. It's gonna be a big night.
Well, there was a big fight over that this afternoon. I don't want to get into the hot chocolate thing, but it was a big knockdown drag out this afternoon over that.
I think I might seem mean here or something because most of our fights are related to hot chocolate. That's the biggest fight we had today was hot chocolate.
Who?
You and whoever you were having an argument with hot chocolate.
Oh, I didn't have. I wasn't here where I had the argument. The conversation started here, and then I had the argument with the person who I said was going to bring the hot chocolate with this afternoon.
That's just funny. If that's the biggest drama, there's the hot chocolate dispute.
Well, I'm not an angry person. I was thinking about this week because I thought this was an interesting topic. That there is nobody who I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really don't. Now, there are people who I don't like things that they did, mm-hmm. so I probably would not go around them because I think that's silly to go around somebody who you don't really trust anymore,
mm-hmm.
but I don't dislike them in general. Every time somebody says I'm angry at them, because I get that sometimes, you're angry at me. I don't, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm really not.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about myself. I agree on that. With
oh,
you.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
Fist bump.
Did I scratch you? Sorry, I have rings on.
She's got all her jewelry on. She just scratched my hand. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Ahead, Matt. She injured me.
Thank
God we're close to the hospital.
I'm gonna be 100%. I was trying to set up.
I know you weren't paying attention to a darn thing we were saying.
Hey, I got a message, and I had to let my mom know that we needed the Buckeyes. Because we upped the order of Buckeyes.
We are 2 weeks to go.
So
don't start cooking them yet.
Is there a limit on how many we can eat at the event?
At one.
One? Okay, sorry, I was just talking.
I don't know, I mean, I don't know how many people are going to be there.
Can you swing by Wendy's before you come that night or something?
I had asked my mom for 8 dozen Buckeyes.
8 dozen?
8 dozen.
Well, you might be able to have more than one.
Perfect.
So, I mean, there'll be a lot of Buckeyes there. Me and Pastor Craig are going to split the cost on the Buckeyes. So,
oh, there's all kinds of stuff goes on here behind the scenes. I don't even know what's going on.
So that's what I was doing. I was making sure my mom knew we needed the Buckeyes.
Well, I said we're going to take a free will donation that night. Maybe we'll donate to this cause.
Okay.
You're going to stand up and say, hey, if anyone wants to donate to Mystery Fund.
No, we know what the fund is.
Donate.
It's for
they're no longer taking money for that.
Oh, okay. So what are we taking money for then? Cost of the Buckeyes.
Yep, just cost of the Buckeyes.
Okay, perfect. That's
all right.
Fine.
So, but Matt, are you really ever angry at somebody long term?
No, I don't think there's. I think you just kind of got to let it go at some point. I think if you're angry long term, you kind of hurt yourself more than them.
But angry is an involuntary action. See, I just don't think I get angry. I'm not a yeller. I'm not a screamer. I'm not an arguer in real life. It just doesn't. I don't do that.
I mean, usually when I mean, everybody reacts differently to anger. Like, me personally, if I get upset or angry, I just usually don't say anything. I'll get quiet.
I don't even do that. I mean, you would not know an emotion. I don't have those emotions.
What?
Yeah, I don't do that.
Sounds like he's a sociopath.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I don't get angry. I never feel long-lasting love. Like,
I don't cry at funerals.
Doesn't cry.
No.
I'm concerned about you, really.
No, I really don't. I mean, not that we hang out all the time, but I mean, have you ever seen me truthfully in an angry mood or a sad mood or any of those ups and downs that people have?
No.
There you go.
I think I've probably seen you irritated.
I think irritated is different than angry.
It's still an emotion. It's just like it's lesser on the spectrum of anger.
Oh, I think I agree with Matt.
Now, what would I be irritated about?
When we have a guest that isn't very good.
I don't even know about that. It's just like if we schedule a guest and then something happens and they can't come, it's not so much on them, but like we still gotta work something out for the show.
Yeah, but that's not so much. That's not real irritation. That's just like, okay, well, let's figure out something to do here.
It's fake irritation, everyone.
Well, I mean, I think you have to show that it's not okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay to no show.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That makes sense.
But I don't think you're, like, I'm getting an ulcer over
No. You get an ulcer if you're, like, angry or stressed. You're not stressed. You're just irritated.
Right.
Yeah, but, like, it's still a form of anger, I think.
It's like anger, but not so much.
But lesser.
Yeah.
Like, I bet if you thought of a time when you were angry or a time when you were sad or a time when you were any of the, I bet something could pop in your brain. Now, I'm not asking you to say what those times are, but for me, I really can't. I would be hard pressed to tell you a time that I was really angry or a time that I was really sad. I don't have those times.
See, I think in the moment I might be like upset about something, but looking back, I guess I don't feel that anger about situations anymore.
Like I told you, I've been asked to speak at a lot of funerals, and I can only guess that's because I don't get upset. Mm-hmm. You know, I can do it.
So you're not sad though?
No.
Okay.
No, people think that I am, but I'm not. Like, it's some kind of suppression. I don't think you can suppress sadness. It's an involuntary feeling. I think if you're going to be sad, you're going to be sad.
Yeah, I mean, most feelings are that way. You can't help it, really, most of the time.
Well, I'll tell you an example. Like, Marianne. It was Marianne Michaels Day this week in Marion on Wednesday, and I was so happy about that. And her son, I made a video for, because Marianne retired, and when Marianne retired, she went out on top, and she said, I'm not doing any more interviews, I'm not coming back, and I respect her for that. So Marianne has retired, but she got these awards, well-deserved awards, Marianne Michaels Day Wednesday, and she's also in the Upper Crust Society. And I made a little video tribute, because I know Marianne was not going to come out of retirement to accept these awards. So I made a little video tribute to her, 5 minutes, and I put it on YouTube, and her son saw it. And he said it made him cry. And he wrote it on Facebook. If you go on my Facebook, and by the way, go on the video, go watch the 5-minute tribute to Marianne, and you'll realize how great of a reporter she was, how great of a person she was at this broadcasting business and pioneer. But her son comments on it, and he says, you made me cry. That's his mom. So there's an emotion there. And to me, that's the greatest compliment you can pay somebody, is that because that would not have been sad or emotional or happy or whatever made him cry, but the way that was edited together, it made him cry.
Yeah, I mean, him just reflecting on the times that she had, considering, you know, she's different now, obviously. How did you get to go see her?
I haven't got to see her yet.
You did not?
Okay. No, but I'm going to go see her, and it's going to be fine.
Okay.
But I think that when you can bring out that emotion in somebody, see, that's why the arts are different. That's why broadcasting, that's why acting, that's why all that's different than other jobs. You don't bring out emotion in people in other jobs. You really have the ability to affect people. It's very strange, but you do. And to give that to him, I never expected that when I was putting the video together, that it would make this man cry, but it did. And that's a wonderful compliment to have.
I think it's extra impressive because you said that you don't, you know, feel that way. So it's not like you're doing this and you're like, oh, this one's a tearjerker.
No, I didn't plan it that way.
You know, you're just like, oh.
No, I just was paying because I knew she's not going to come out and accept the award because she's retired, and I thought we got to have something for this, and it happened. So there you go. But I loved Marianne. I really did. This week, because I haven't worked with her in 6 years now, and it brought her back to me in a way. And God, I love that woman. We had such good times together. She was so good at what she did. She was a superlative broadcaster. And she's fascinating to me because she, you know, it's weird. In this town, Madge Cooper was the pioneer for women. She started teaching in LaRue and became a broadcaster. Marianne is right there with Madge. Marianne taught for years and then became a broadcaster. I have done the same thing. And when Marianne was done in broadcasting, she went and finished up her 30 years in the city schools. So I think that's an interesting tie.
Do you think it's because in education you're kind of a public speaker? I mean, you're talking to a classroom.
I think so. I think you're in front of people, and I also think that there's just something about it. This is teaching to me, you know, in a way.
You're teaching the audience something.
Well, I think you're trying to relay information.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of it. But she was so good. She was always so well-dressed, always so in place. And she did stories on suicide and heart surgery and racial slurs in the late 70s and early 80s. People weren't doing that. And certainly women were not doing that.
Wow, that is crazy.
So I give Marianne a lot of credit. And she was a great lady, and I loved working with her. But she was also fun. She was fun, and she was funny. It's so weird when you try to look at my notes, because Marianne used to do that all the time. And I would always jump on her for doing it. I'd say, Marianne, you're looking at my notes. And we would get in little, you know, fun arguments. I'd say, Marianne, stop. Oh, Scott, I'm not looking at your notes. It would be that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had, I had great chemistry with her, who you don't have with everybody. She was a great lady. When I would go to Marianne's house, Marianne would invite me over to her house. She'd say, Scott, stop by. I want to talk to you about something, usually about a story or something.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne was a hostess. When you went to her house, even if it was just you and her, it was wine and it was hors d'oeuvres, and you sat at her table. And I'll tell you a funny story. One time, and people who know Marianne will know this, I went over to her house. I was on my way to work at that point. I was going, I'm not going to tell what job because this isn't exactly the best story in the world to tell, but Marianne wanted me to stop over beforehand, so I did, and we started drinking the wine. And you have to drink with Marianne when you're there visiting with her.
You have to.
And it was time to go to work, and, you know, woo, I got in the car, and I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't be driving the car or going to work at this point because I've had a little bit of wine.
Oh, my gosh.
But I love that. Because
were you feeling the wine?
I felt the wine, yes.
Well, you know, that's probably, you know, I agree with you. Probably not the best time to go to work.
I didn't realize how much wine Marianne, Ann, and I, we about closed the place. But those are the times I had with Marianne that were so great, and I could do that with her, and it was always fun with Marianne. Never had a bad moment, never had an argument. Great lady, and she goes up on Mount Rushmore. You know, if you have the Mount Rushmore of Marianne broadcasters, and that's an important place to be because you have a president from here and a treasurer and all that. But if you have the four people, which would be Mount Rushmore, who are the greatest broadcasters in Marianne history, it is Madge Cooper, it is Charlie Evers, it is Marianne Michaels. I don't know who the fourth is, but that's...
Scott wants us to say it's him.
No.
Scott's the fourth, you guys.
No. I'm not up there with them.
Yes.
No. But I worked with all of them. And God, what... I was lucky. to work with all of them. Because Marianne's retired, and the other two have went on to their reward at this point. So I was lucky to work with all of them.
Yeah, that's awesome for you.
Wonderful people. So, there you go. Marianne Michaels, one of the best. But it made me think of you guys, too, because you guys, you know, she started the show with me and Charlie that we do.
Wow, and now we're like the next generation and stuff.
It's weird to think that.
That's so funny.
It's like The View.
It is. It's like The View. It's a revolving table.
Wow. I feel honored to be part of it.
Well, it's a nice history to be a part of.
Right?
Yeah. Now, when I'm out the door, who are you going to get to replace me?
I haven't thought that far yet.
Pull some bum in off the street?
Yeah. Just how you got me. You were like, hey, you.
Hey, you, come on over here.
Hey, you, come here. We need somebody right now.
No, but I did say in a post the other day that I thought that she would like you both.
Really?
I do. I think she would. Marianne liked Kid. She was a teacher, obviously.
Right.
But Marianne also would like you too because you're interested and you're, I think you're both good broadcasters. And Marianne appreciated that in people.
Thanks, Marianne.
Yeah. I'll let her know when I see her.
Perfect. Yeah, you
yes,
do that.
I will do that. Boy, you are a little surly tonight. What is with you?
Oh my gosh, no, I was just saying.
Marianne wasn't this surly, I'll tell you that.
Well, we have some differences, obviously. Yeah,
a little few differences there. But anyway, it's a good... See, so what am I going to be upset about in life?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
that was the point I was making.
Back to this.
Yeah, I mean, really, what am I going to be upset about?
No, you've had a good life. I agree, and the point... Like
I'm not
I
ready
said,
to lie down yet.
No, but you got... But like you said, you know, you've gotten to kind of control your path in a way. You were, you know, got to be in education and then realized, oh, you like the broadcasting, and then you get to go work at Kroger and get feedback on the broadcasting. And you have a lot of control over your schedule and your life. And I think that is what a lot of people are lacking, why they feel so stuck and don't like where they're at.
I never made any decision on money, and I never made any decision based on what somebody else was telling me.
There you go.
I did it on my own.
That's the key.
That's the key. But I don't know. I think some people don't do that. And I think that's sad in a way.
A lot of people don't do that.
It's sad.
Yeah, I know. I think it's so interesting. Like, I remember being in high school and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to do this and this is this plan. And I'm always like, oh my gosh, like, why do they know what they want? Like, why
just
do
people,
they know?
This has become a big topic with me because so many people, when I say, why are you choosing that field? They tell me the money.
Yeah.
And I hate that.
Yes.
I think that's horrible.
Yeah. No.
That is not...
40 hours a week is a lot to do just for the money.
But it's just, you got to go after what, you know what your love is. And you got to do that. I mean, I'd rather fail at it than never do it at all.
I think a lot of younger people don't know, though. Like,
oh, I think that's wrong.
No, you don't know sometimes.
I'd say you're wrong.
I would have never thought that I would love doing this. And not that I, like, don't think it's fun or anything, but now that I'm here and, like, I've had this opportunity, I'm like, oh, this is great. But, like...
You're welcome.
Yes, but, like, I don't think a lot of people know what they love. Like, I remember being in that position, like, trying to figure out what you're going to do next.
And no,
like,
I guess what I'm saying is, once you do it, you know you love it.
Yes, yes. But I think a lot of people, I mean, you're supposed to pick...
I didn't know anything about broadcasting till I did it.
Right.
Yeah. No, so I agree with you. You have to do it before you love it, but I think that people don't, even then, they know it, but they don't get it.
I could see that, but I guess I'm just trying to say that I don't think people have opportunities a lot. I mean, whenever you're 18 years old trying to decide what you're going to do forever.
Well, 18's not the end of your life. What do you think, Matt?
I mean, I think that if you're 18 and you're trying to decide what you're going to do forever, I think that you might be thinking a little bit too far ahead. You're 18 years old, and you got quite a few years left before you need to pick a forever job.
Yeah, it ain't time for forever yet.
No, I know, but I mean, you feel that way whenever you're in that position, and they're like, okay, you gotta pick a college degree now, and you're gonna pay $100,000. So I hope you love it because it's hard to change.
No, I'll tell you that's a bad thing too. Don't let people tell you that because my college degree had nothing to do with what I ended up doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. You know, that's something people tell you. I don't know. It's not necessarily true.
I know. People just put a lot of pressure on it to young people, and I guess I would just like to say it doesn't matter that much, I guess.
Let's do the top 10 list here. The second top 10 list of the night. Let's see if we can get it rolling here. We'll get a drum roll going. There it is. Okay. Tonight's top 10 list, second top 10 list, top 10 worst Christmas presents for 2023. Pay attention.
I'm reading.
No, don't read. Top 10 worst Christmas presents for 2023. Number 10, a Crocs-shaped phone holder.
Nice, nice.
Number 9, a bathroom scale. Number 8, a room air freshener. Number 7, wrinkle cream. Number 6, household cleaning supplies. Number 5, an ugly sweater. Number 4, socks. Not true.
Yeah, I like getting socks.
Yeah, character socks are always a good gift. Top 10 worst Christmas presents for 2023. Number 3, a Ken doll resembling Donald Trump. You want one of those?
That's not real.
Oh, I bet you could get one.
Yeah, you can probably find one.
You could find one.
Well, yeah, okay. A donation to a cause you don't support.
You gotta say the number.
Sorry, number 2, a donation to a cause you don't support. Yeah, that would be a sucky gift, I mean.
Sucky. That would be a sucky gift.
It would be a sucky gift.
It's called bad gift.
Bad gift. Bad I'm gift. Sorry.
And the number 1 worst Christmas present for 2023, a fruitcake.
Thank
you very much.
I'd be happy with a fruitcake. One of you guys should make fruitcake as the gift you give to us.
Is that homemade?
I'm sure it
Yeah, you can make homemade. There you go, Scott. Make some homemade fruitcake.
Yeah.
The man who doesn't like the fruitcake needs to make the fruitcake.
Listen, I've already got the things made for you two.
You already made them?
I already took care of it. My shopping's done for the holidays.
I don't believe him.
Wow.
He's lying.
We can't shop. You have to make it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay. Just a reminder. You said shopping.
You have to shop to get the stuff you're going to make the item with.
That's true.
Do you know what you're doing?
I have a couple
25
ideas.
Days.
I know. I have a couple ideas I'm throwing around.
I think the last Friday is like the 22nd. 22 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. You better get on it.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. You're falling behind. Matt, do you have any idea what you're doing?
Maybe a little bit.
All right. Well, it's going to be a Merry Christmas. I'm sure about that. Let's see here. What's the next topic tonight? We did all those earlier on. Did you advertise the fruitcake to us? I think you did. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Got a lot of people, 43 people. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Okay. Oh, you know, we got to do this topic. We haven't got to it weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. We have to do it. It involves your favorite Taylor Swift.
Woohoo.
We haven't done this in a while. Her little boyfriend, Travis Kelce, did an interview in the Wall Street Journal where he says he's not going to talk about her, but he talks about her a lot in the Wall Street Journal interview, and he says he doesn't want to talk about it much for fear of pushing her away. And the quote in the Wall Street Journal article, he says, the biggest thing to him is don't say anything to push Taylor away. Wow. He's deep, man.
Mm-hmm.
That man's deep. That relationship is headed for the gutter, like the rain outside. It's going to the this is the worst thing you could possibly say in the Wall Street Journal.
That reminds me of when people make like those Facebook posts where it's like, oh man, I love my life.
This person's so great. Everything's so happy.
And then all of a sudden you see like, you know, 3 months later, they're no longer talking to each other.
Yep.
What are you guys talking about?
We don't believe happy posts.
So when people make posts on like Facebook or Instagram or something, and it's like a picture of like them and their significant other, and like, oh my God, I love this person so much. Where would I be without this person?
Or you thank the person. Why do you have to thank the person on social media?
Okay, right.
Just go to him and say thank you.
This is different though. I'm assuming they came to him and asked for an interview, and they're probably asking him questions about Taylor. What's he gonna do? He has to think of a response.
No, yeah, he could say no response.
No, he couldn't. That'd be a terrible interview.
Marshawn Lynch used to show up to the press conferences and say, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I mean, I guess he could do that, but like maybe he was just willing to say things.
He can say whatever he wants to say.
The biggest thing to me is don't say anything to push Taylor away. Like what?
And then publish it in the newspaper.
See, I think that this man has got something hidden there.
I don't think that Travis has a way with words, that's for sure.
Well, he certainly doesn't.
But
neither does his mother, by the way. His mother goes on the Today Show. Now, why is his mother on the... What kind of guest is that? And she goes on, and now she regrets saying that it... Because apparently they asked her, after she hung out with Taylor Swift in the little press box there, or before they were officially dating, she said at that time, the mother said, well, it was just okay hanging out with her. And now the mother regrets saying that. She said, well, I was just trying to cover it up because I didn't want people to know that they were... What?
I don't know.
Who cares?
There's just so much media coverage about this, and everyone.
Why is his mother going on the Today Show? Stay home, Mom.
I don't know. She to make money, probably. I'm sure she got paid
for
that.
This is horrible. No.
You don't think she got paid?
New shows do not pay guests. You cannot pay a guest.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't know that.
You will set a bad precedent if you pay guests.
Wow. Okay, I don't know then.
Yep. No, and why would she go?
Because I think this is probably going to be the first time she's ever been invited on national television to talk about anything.
Do you want the mom of your significant other involved in your relationship to this degree?
Probably.
Is that all they talked about?
Oh, well, why else would you have her on?
Oh, she's the mom of Travis Kelce. You could talk about how... and Jason Kelce. You could talk about how two of her sons...
Nobody cares.
Does she only have the two? Do you know?
Nobody cares.
I think so.
This is Mr. Swift at this point.
Look, when both of your kids make it into the NFL, I'd be asking some questions.
See, that's the problem. Now he's made a mistake. He's now dating somebody bigger than him. He made a big mistake.
No, definitely. I mean, he's kind of living in her shadow a little bit. I think...
Yeah, big mistake.
That she brought him more to the spotlight.
That will eventually 100%. Wear on him.
Maybe. We'll find out. I mean, she seemed confident. I actually watched Hulu released some sort of like, I don't know if it's a documentary or what, but there was something about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift that I watched on Hulu last night.
See, this is so sad.
And
I'm going to run right home and watch that.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't honestly tell me anything that I hadn't already heard on social media or anything, but Donna Kelce was in it a couple times, and that's what...
This woman needs to go home.
What?
Who?
Just go home.
Is that the mom?
Yeah, Donna.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her name.
She needs to go home.
I don't know. I mean, she probably...
Why is she
attention.
Doing things? Just stop.
I don't know. I mean...
I'm saying, listen, this man's got something to hide. Just mark that down.
Okay.
You just write that down, and it's all going to come out eventually. He is afraid to even say something that will push her away. What does that even mean?
Why would he want to push her away?
I don't understand. I would never say this.
But he doesn't want to push her away?
Yeah, why would you say that? The biggest thing to me is I don't want to say anything to push Taylor away.
I mean, it's probably a lot of pressure whenever you're having interviews that are constantly put out in the media.
Just
and
tell
stuff.
The truth.
I know, but what if like your words are misinterpreted? I feel misinterpreted a lot on the show. I really feel for Travis Kelce, honestly.
Do you? Yeah, I bet you do.
I empathize with him. I get it. It's hard.
This is a radio show. What you say is what you say.
I know, but sometimes you guys misconstrue what I'm saying or what I mean to say. Sometimes you do.
When have we ever misconstrued what you said?
I don't have any specific examples in
my
mind right now.
Well, then it must not be too important.
Oh my gosh, yes, no, it's not that important, but I'm just saying, whenever it's all written down, I bet I could listen through, and I remember saying, I feel misunderstood right now several times.
Well, that's because, listen, we talked about it a little bit last week. You're a little distant. You're a little, you know, a little wall.
Oh my gosh. This again.
No, I'm not bringing it up. I just said that's what happened last week. I'm just giving a little cue back to last week.
Uh-huh.
In case somebody missed it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nobody likes to be told that they're not being authentic and they're a little distant.
I don't think I ever used the word that you were inauthentic. See, I think you've come up with that whole thing.
Maybe I did.
Anyway, we were at the Christmas tree lighting last Saturday. We haven't talked about that.
We have not, and I brought this up in the first hour.
Right, but I didn't want to get to it then, so since I moderate the show, now we're going to get to it.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Okay, we lit, and I bet you there were 3,000 people there. I was shocked at how well that event was run.
Yes.
And I was so impressed by that parade. Those people with the trees and their trucks, and I was just blown away.
Yeah, there were multiple full size Christmas trees on people's vehicles, and the cars were so well lit. I'm still curious how they get the lights on them and they stay lit the whole time.
A lot of Grinch. You and I called the parade.
We did,
and I thought you did a very good job.
Stop it!
I did.
That's so nice.
No, I listened to it back because you know when you're doing it, you really don't pay much attention to it.
Right.
And I listened to it back, and I thought she didn't even know she was going to be doing that. She was very good because it's a different skill set than talk show.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably easier though in a way.
But I thought you did very good. You did very good in describing what was there, and you did very good in keeping the conversation going through the dull moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's obviously the parade gaps that go on, so you're like, okay, gotta stop.
Parade gaps are a real thing.
We're living in fear of parade gaps.
And you
parade.
Guys got up there and sang in front of 3,000 people?
We did.
Yes.
I think it was easier than I thought it was going to be, too. I mean, we talked about it previously, and we thought that people were going to be much closer to
us.
They
were far away. Now, I told people that. I think people... See, this is why Christmas in Caledonia, I'm still a little nervous for you both, because I think that's going to be more close up.
Okay. I mean, hopefully...
I mean, these people... I did not realize these people were going to be, like, a football field away from us.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't see any... I mean, you could just see people.
No, it was just a big, like, black blur.
Yeah, they were far away.
Yeah, well, and then we had to act in the moment, too, because our order of song... Well, not order, but...
Yeah, that got switched up. But, yeah, the downtown people were very nice. Jet Kellogg lit the tree. Perfect person to do it. And the tree looked good, and there was no hitch in anything. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think it went over really well.
I think so.
It was a little cold. I would have changed that.
37 degrees.
Yes, I was freezing the entire time. I would have also liked more treats from the parade people, though.
You got that cookie.
I know.
Cheryl's cookies.
I saw them passing out a lot of things at the beginning of the parade, and they just didn't come over to us because we were farther back. And, like, I understand why, but that's what I would have changed.
Are you excited for the rest of the Christmas outings this season?
Absolutely.
For cake toss?
We were just talking about another possible one.
Oh, I think that's going to happen.
Okay,
perfect. It looks good. We finally got that in order on this end.
Perfect. Yeah, Matt.
Where we've fallen through a couple times, but I think we're good this time. That's going
to
be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That'll be the first, I don't want to give it away, but that's going to be the first real trip.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Won't that be fun?
That'll be something.
Now, here's the thing. I thought that it was all very good. It was. I think the people in downtown Marion are doing a great job down there. And I could not believe they're really... I did 3,000 people. I thought, well, I think there were. I could not see Main or Church Street. Mm-hmm. It was full of people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's multiple rows of people, too. So it's not like we just saw everybody, you know, on a little
It was
stats.
Like a concert.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
it was
I
good.
Felt famous, for sure.
And the tree was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful
yeah.
tree.
Yeah, beautiful. It was a great night.
Yeah, a lot of lights. It was a good way to ring in the holiday season.
Yeah.
It was.
It was nice.
It was good. I mean, it felt like Christmas, you know?
And you had
like,
your little cheering section there?
Yes, yes. My friends came. They're very supportive.
I met your mom and dad that night?
Yes.
I've met your mom before, but I saw both of them.
You met my ex-boyfriend from eighth grade.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember. I was like, this is the boyfriend. It was brief. So
oh,
you,
okay.
You might have.
I might have slipped my. I'm sure I did.
Yeah, you yeah. know, you did.
Did I say hello?
I think so. Oh. It was right after the tree lighting ceremony.
Matt, were you there for this?
You were running around. You had to take some pictures and zoom in on yourself, so you were preoccupied with this.
Oh, you awful person.
It was the friend who when you asked for a secret, gave a secret.
Oh, I did run. Yes, I did run into him.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you met a lot of people that are important to me that night.
Yeah. Fantastic. But, I didn't even see those pictures.
I know, I just had to make
see,
a
joke. See, that is such a lie. You have
just,
no journalistic
you're
integrity.
Funny. Yes, I do. Okay, Nobel Peace Prize.
Wait till I get the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm
you're
going to
be very upset when
I'm
I get
waiting.
The Nobel Peace Prize. I cannot believe that. Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to end with something. Because the other night we brought this up, and I think it is an interesting thing. If you like another person's picture on Facebook and you're in a relationship, is that cheating?
No, it's not cheating.
Well, apparently some people think it is.
I think that there's other issues in the relationship. There's
I
a lot
just
of
don't want to see you, to be honest
on.
With you. Do you? I mean, I don't even pay attention to other people's news feed. I really don't. I mean, if something pops up when I'm posting something, I guess I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I don't stop and read anything. I don't comment on anything. I don't like anything. That's not my own stuff. And the only reason I do that's because people, I get like a notification when somebody comments on my stuff.
Right, I know, but I just don't think everyone's like you. I think some people would go out of their way to look at others' photos and...
Why?
I don't know.
Who cares?
But they do.
Who cares what people are doing?
Some people.
I don't care.
Or else there'd be no point for social media. So
no, it's good advertisement.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're advertising to the people who care what's on social media,
well, that's a good amount of people.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So not everyone's like you, Mr. Yeah. I don't have feelings. Also,
well, I mean, what's wrong with not having feelings? I mean, you can't force yourself.
No. I mean, it's just it's odd.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
What are you gonna be doing? Crying all the time?
No, just feeling happy, sad.
I feel happy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Contentment, maybe.
Content. 100% content.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Matt?
I think that if you get that upset that somebody you, I guess, in a relationship with liked somebody else's picture, I don't think you should be in a relationship with that person. Because you either don't trust that person or you have, I guess, big enough...
insecurities.
Yeah, insecurities, that's the word. You have big enough insecurities that you should probably work on those before you worry about dating somebody.
And some people are just not winners.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't like to say that, but I mean, some people just aren't in the winner's circle in life. They, you know.
In order for somebody to win, somebody's got to lose.
Yeah, and I, sure. You know, some people are just born, you know, not winners. And try as though they may, they're always going to be in that sad. You know, I used to be around somebody a lot who used to say that I was too positive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that a thing to say?
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you a lot about them.
That tells you they're probably not very positive.
No, they're a miserable person. And, you know, I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. It's a perspective thing. I think people have to reflect and want to change.
I think you'd want positive people in your life.
Yeah, I do. That's for sure. That's why we're here together.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that how we got together?
That's how we got together.
I didn't realize
that. Positivity was radiating from both of us.
No.
And
but it's true. I mean, I remember this person saying this, and I thought, really?
And you're like, okay, Scrooge, like, sorry.
I just couldn't imagine. I mean, after being around this person for years, that was what they said to
That's
me.
That's what they said.
They said, you are too positive for me.
Oh my gosh.
So then I said something negative to him. I said, let's negative it up.
You're like, woohoo. Let's
I've been holding
it.
Back for years.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
They didn't like the criticisms.
That's so funny.
See, people don't even know what they're saying.
Nobody ever likes the criticism.
No, but they didn't like the positivity either.
They always have to complain about something.
Yeah. Well, this person was just terminally miserable. I hate to say they were miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in their life was awful. They used to tell me, "Oh, this is horrible to say. Hope they're not listening." But they used to say to me, and it's a God's honest truth. They used to say to me, "My life just doesn't turn out. Your life is always turning out well. Mine doesn't work like that."
Yeah, it's so sad when people feel that way, and that's just the reality that they accept, too. Because it's like, you know, you do have to make an effort to change things sometimes, like, because things aren't working out, there's probably things that you can do a little bit different.
If you have a defeatist mindset, you probably are defeated.
Well, I mean, I kept thinking to myself, it takes work.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't wake up positive.
No.
I mean, you have to get there.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said earlier, there have to be the losers and the miserable people to realize that there's winners out there, too. So I guess I'm thankful that the people out there are working as, you know, an accountant, because I'd be really miserable if I had to do that every day. Sorry about the accountants out there, but I couldn't do it.
Well, it's just sad. It's sad because I don't really even understand it. I just don't get that mindset because that's depressing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do I take a huge interest in people because I'm fascinated by people. I really am endlessly fascinated by people.
I'm fascinated by the way you say huge. Huge. There's no H. Sorry, we were just making fun of the way I talked earlier, so I thought... Huge.
How many... You know what? If we replay this show back, it's just going to be nothing but insults for 2 hours.
No. Okay, Matt, do you hear what I'm saying, though? I used to have this teacher that always used to say, like, gross, really weird or something. I think that was her word. Like, and it was like her nose got plugged when she said the G or something. And, like, whenever you say huge, that's what I'm like every time I'm like, oh, that wasn't right. Like, that doesn't sit right in my brain. Sorry, tours. I mean,
I've never noticed, so.
No, it's glaring to me. I'm like, huge.
I mean,
there's no H.
Usually when it comes down to hearing things, I usually just chalk it up to the fact that I've done a lot of shooting without hearing protection. So I just blame it on the fact that I have poor ears.
Come on, what do you have to say?
You know, I'm going to take the high road here and be positive and not be a negative, rude person like you.
Oh my gosh, I was just pointing it out. Have you not, you've never heard that? I mean, I didn't think anything of the way I said tours earlier and you pointed it out.
No, I did that for your own good.
Okay, and I was pointing out huge for your own good.
Why do you like to fight with me?
It's just fun.
By the way, I just want to point out something. When this show started months ago, this thing said
this
to me...
This is not who you had originally.
No, no. This person said to me at one point, I have trouble disagreeing or arguing with people in a different age category than me. What happened to that?
Okay, this is all a bit. We're not really arguing.
Okay.
You know it. Come on. We're going to leave here and be like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We hold hands and skip down the steps on the way out of here at the end.
We do. We give each other hugs.
Jeez,
like,
Louise.
See you next week.
I'm just saying that, you know, I am not mean to you.
You pointed out the way I said tours weird. I was
well,
just
you did, though.
Reciprocating.
Matt heard that, didn't you?
I say tour, too, so
tours?
You.
Tours?
Well, yeah, tours.
No, tour.
So he says it the same way I do. So I'm just saying
you need
that
to
whenever you say
pronounce.
Huge,
so it's
it
tour.
Sounds interesting
huge.
To me.
Huge.
Huge. Yes.
Huge.
You forget the H sometimes, and that's okay. I'm
going to start throwing the H at you a few times.
Throw me the H. I like it. I wouldn't notice. I'd be like,
throw you the H.
That sounds normal.
Throw you a couple L's, too. Anyway, the point is that that's rude, but okay.
I was just saying, you wanted to point out.
Didn't you say at one point that you didn't, I can't argue with people.
Yeah, maybe
you
it
lied.
Depends on the contact. No, I think it depends
It was towards like the first shows, so I think, I think you were lying.
Yeah, liar.
No, if it was like a real argument and I thought you were genuinely mad, it would be different, but like the fact that I know that it's just for fun.
These are real disagreements, clearly.
Okay, yeah, but like...
I don't think we fake this.
Neither of us care, though. Like, it's not like we're losing sleep over these little disagreements.
Of course not.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So it's just like, it's for fun. People probably love it when we
But are you saying I could hurt your feelings?
If you said some things off the air that you say on the air, probably.
Oh.
And probably goes both ways, yes.
No, I never had hurt feelings. No. I wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
I really wouldn't.
Scott doesn't care what I have to say.
Well, no, I care what you have to say.
Hurt him.
No, I don't. I care what you have to say.
Uh-huh.
It just, anything you would say toward me, I would just write off as, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, I guess it would kind of hurt my feelings, because I feel like we've gotten a closer relationship.
We do have a close relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all have a close relationship.
Definitely.
I think it's a very... I mean, how can you... It's a weird thing as we wrap up... I don't know, weird. That's the wrong terminology. But as we wrap up the show, yes, I think this has become a very close group.
I agree. And I think part of a close relationship is that person has the ability to hurt your feelings. Do you not feel that way?
Well, probably is, but I just don't get hurt feelings in general.
Okay, well, for the rest of us normal people the closeness of a relationship means, like, oh, you care about what this person has to say. If they could say something that would hurt you, because you value them. You value
right,
what
but
they
that,
say.
You know, it's weird. It's because in the beginning, we really had no connection at all. None of us. I mean, we worked at the same place, but I didn't even know your name. And,
no, I was Mackenzie at first, I think.
I think something like that. But, in the beginning, there was a joke, and I said, try to look happy in pictures, like we're friendly, because you went to promo everything. And now, not even a year later, not even really 6 months, I don't even think it's been 6 months yet, because the fair was in July.
Yeah.
So it's not even been that long. And now, I mean, it really is an odd, close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's odd that it's close. It's just become very close, quickly. And that's interesting, because in the beginning, you might not have thought that, because there's not a whole lot of commonality in the group. I wouldn't have thought. But I think there is a lot of commonality now. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
I mean, I just don't think a lot of people have the opportunity to sit down and talk for 2 hours straight with the same group of people every week. So I think that that gives us a great opportunity to bond and get to know each other. And we have our little inside jokes and our banter and stuff. I mean, I that helps, having this time together.
Well, that's right. And I think that, when people come up and say you don't really like that person, I think it's they're listening and it must feel awful comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Good.
Yeah. So what'd you learn tonight, Matt?
I learned that the first woman on the Supreme Court, the first job she ever had, she was not paid for, nor did she have an office. She was with the secretary.
And the letter, by the way, now this is an interesting thing, a little side note to that, Sandra Day O'Connor, who died today, that letter that she wrote saying she would take the job just to get in the door for no money and she would sit with the secretary is now at that law firm's, it's on hanging on the wall there. And she was actually, when she became the first female Supreme Court justice, she was asked to come speak at the 100th anniversary of that law firm that wouldn't hire her.
That's awesome.
That's irony.
That's so cool.
So there
a
you
big,
go.
Big, like, full circle moment.
Yeah, I think it's, you say, hey, I made the right choice. Because she was going to work on a farm. That's a weird thing. Sandra Day O'Connor, she came from the South, and she was going, she worked on a farm, and a law professor came into her life and changed her life, as she said. Set her on a different path that led her to the Supreme Court, first woman on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how things can kind of, work out for you, and life is a little bit of luck and a little bit of, okay, if you want something, you got to keep working for it.
I think that, we should talk about this some week. I think there is... It's never your family. It's weird, because I can think of this person in my life. It's never your family, and it's not necessarily even your best friend or your significant other, but there's some person who at some point in your life, and a lot of times it's a teacher, will come in, and for some reason, something they do sets you on a completely different path and changes your life. And that happened with her, and it happens with a lot of people. I think that's interesting, that, that's what it takes sometimes. I mean, she was going to be a rancher.
Yeah.
That was what her family, and there was no lawyers in her family.
I mean, it's just kind of what doors open up, you know? She met that person, and then these opportunities arose.
And because he made it, as she said, he made the law seem interesting to her. So she said, I got to try that.
Yeah, that's a great testament to, like, don't, you know, close off doors and think that you're going to be set in your ways. And, like, things can change on a whim.
Absolutely. What did you learn tonight?
That's what I learned tonight. You know, be open and...
You didn't learn anything until the last 30 seconds of the show?
No, I learned that you say huge. Actually, no, I've known that for weeks.
when I brought you on, it was a huge mistake. That's exactly right. Now, before we... I was going to ask this question earlier, so I want to make sure we get this in because we had a long news break here. But if you knew that if you could... And we never really know. But if you knew that tonight was the end, if you knew, boop, this was going to be it.
Like we're dying?
No, not die.
The end of what? The show?
The end of the show.
Okay.
And that you would never see... Or the audience would never hear you again. I mean, you could die, I guess. But let's say, how would you want to be remembered by people?
I would want to be remembered as silly and a good talker.
That's what you want chiseled on the tombstone, huh?
Yep, silly and a good talker.
I was a silly good talker.
Yep.
I think I'd like to be remembered as an honest person.
Honest.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, Matt's putting me to shame over here.
He went deep.
He did. Sorry.
And you went somewhere.
I went honest. That's what I want.
Well, I think that's an interesting question because I think that's fascinating because I don't know if anybody ever asks anybody that because it's such a final thing. But I think you should ask people that. I think you should wonder how they would like to be remembered because I don't think it's how you would remember them.
Yeah, maybe interesting. I guess people, you tune into the show each week if you enjoyed it, so... I guess with a lot of people that like to listen, that's going to be a good
way. But now, how would you want to be remembered by your people?
Probably silly. Yeah.
Silly.
Yeah. I really value that.
Now, your people would be what? Just like, not same thing, trustworthy?
Yep, trustworthy, honest.
That's good. I like it.
What about you?
I'm the moderator.
Come on. You do this all the time. He doesn't like to reveal.
No, I am happy.
Okay, perfect.
Happy. You know?
I think you relay that. You try to, at least. You let them know each week.
Well, I think you got to, you know, happiness is achievable. Mm-hmm. What is it? What was I too much for that person? God, I forgot the word now. Positive. Too positive. Yeah, put that on the tombstone. I was too darn positive for people. Oh, goodness. Well, we'll be back next week, and it'll be even closer to Christmas. It doesn't feel like Christmas time right now.
We're sitting in a room filled with wreaths and trees and lights and...
Wreaths and trees and lights.
Funny story. Oh, last year on Christmas, I went to Speedway to get gas.
That's where I celebrate Christmas.
And I was like, is the Speedy Cafe not open? And they were like, no. And then I left outside and I was like, why? And then like on the way when I was leaving, I was like, it's Christmas. Of course it's not open.
Do you celebrate Christmas?
Kind of. Not really. I go to my grandma's, but we don't usually do it on Christmas.
Well, when do you do it?
Whenever everybody's available.
What do you do on Christmas?
We go to my mom's house sometimes, or I guess usually. I don't think I've ever not gone to my mom's house. But like, once we leave my mom's house, it's just a normal day. Like, I just go about my day. We open gifts, and then...
What do you do on Christmas?
I'm gone.
Santa Claus comes.
Yes, Santa Claus comes. We have Christmas breakfast, and my mom tries to create this, like... Christmas ambiance, like there's candles lit, and like my parents love to decorate, so like our house is decked out. People should drive by. We have like an island of misfit toys out front. There's Mary and Joseph in the front yard. We've got a giant 20-foot Santa. Like, so my house it screams Christmas. So we come down, eat breakfast, open gifts, and then go to my grandparents and hang out there.
You know, it's funny. My house is all Christmased out, too, but the reason for that, it's a lot of work, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. But the reason for that is on Christmas Eve. Now, Christmas Day is kind of anticlimactic for me because I go to family for that day, and that night is just kind of, it's all over. But Christmas Eve is when I have the big thing at my house, and that's fun. I love Christmas Eve. I think Christmas Eve is one of the great days because it's so much fun. We all get together. It's usually very adultish as far as we don't have the little kids there who are getting ready to have to go home early to see Santa Claus or anything like that. And we just have a lot of fun on Christmas Eve.
Aw, is it like the radio people? The
radio people come on. Yeah, it's like that type of group. Last year, yeah. Oh, last year was during that storm, and they still came.
Oh, my
gosh. That's how much fun it is. If you come to it, you will want to come again because we just have so much fun. You've been to the things. You had fun.
I went to
Labor Day.
Yep.
And Memorial Day.
They were good.
You were there. You had a good time, didn't you?
Yep.
You probably came in thinking, "What? You know, what? This ain't gonna be any fun."
I mean, the first time I didn't think it wasn't going to be any fun, but I was like, man, I'm about to go sit, talk to a whole bunch of people that I don't know besides, like, Scott and Sean.
Right. And how'd it turn out?
It was good. I met Mary Ellen that day.
Mary Ellen comes over for those things. But don't we just have a lot of fun? It's a very diverse group of people.
Yeah.
It's radio people. It's some of my family. It's some of my friends. It's a fun thing. And we eat, like, shredded chicken sandwiches and potato chips and just have a lot of fun.
You and this cup.
Oh,
tonight.
Shut up.
You and this cup.
I need to bring it up.
He has knocked over a Wendy's cup at least 7 times, I think.
Matt, you're invited for over for Christmas Eve. You.
That's fine. My family's got stuff to do on Christmas Eve.
Oh, what are you going to do? Get ready for Santa? Grease the chimney?
We hang out with my aunt and uncle. We go to their house for Christmas Eve. So we have a little family get together.
Christmas Eve is fun.
Yeah. I agree.
It's anticipation.
Yes.
I like that. All right. We'll be back next week for Carrington and Matt, Scott Spears.
Heading for the dugout.
That's all you need. We're done. Heading for the dugout.
My nose. It was Dr. Jack Perry. My, well, you get the picture.
Happy holidays.